Over at thepodiumgame.com, we are doing an extensive first-round preview. We're hitting on the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. I'm your host, Brian Gibberman, with the Podium Game Podcast. This portion of the preview takes a look at the Grizzlies-Blazers first-round series.
Here we're going to hit on the Trailblazers-Grizzlies series. The Trailblazers are the 4 seed. The Grizzlies are the 5. I'm joined by Corbin Smith to take care of the Blazers side. Now, look, this is just stupid. Why are the Blazers the 4 and the Grizzlies the 5, and the Grizzlies have home court advantage? It's just
because
dumb.
Because divisions are unbelievably important, Brian. It's about catering a local product. You know, look, if you ask me, the division system does not go far enough, and basically you should play 2 games against everybody who isn't in your division, and like a shit ton of games with everybody who is in your division, because it would reduce travel, which would reduce carbon emissions. Whenever I think about NBA scheduling, I think primarily about carbon emissions. This is not a joke, because they fly private jets everywhere, and jets are like insanely bad for the environment, right? So whenever I think like how we should reform the schedule, I always like totally throw out everybody's ideas about like, oh, why do we even have conferences, and think, we need to double down on conferences to reduce jet travel because we're trying to reduce carbon emissions. So this is 100% not a joke.
This is why you want the Sonics back so bad, so Portland can just fly back and forth to, or maybe even take a train.
Yeah, they should take a train. Look, you know what would be dope? If like 4 Seattle games only, the Blazers had like a train. Had like a, you know, they used to have private trains with baseball clubs. Like the Yankees own their own train and stuff like that. I want Seattle back for all kinds of reasons, but yeah, that's one of them.
What is most intriguing to you about this Blazers Grizzlies series?
Is my own immense hopelessness.
What
regarding the outcome intriguing?
Open-ended question, wherever you want to go with it.
No, what's intriguing? I don't know if I think this is intriguing. I actually think the Rockets would have been more interesting if that had been the case. I think that a lot of people who like the Blazers are like groaning because that seems like that hurt everybody to a certain degree. But I mean, like, matchup-wise, for the last a while, the Grizzlies have just absolutely waxed the Blazers. The Blazers just can't put up with the size and can't put up with the defense. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, well, Damian Lillard versus Mike Conley. It's hard for me to think of a scenario based on precedent where, like, the Blazers are really going to put a number over on the Grizzlies.
I haven't believed in the Blazers last year.
How dare you?
And still don't this year.
How dare you, Brian?
Why am I wrong, or do you agree with me?
What do you mean, haven't believed them?
I just don't think...
Like, you don't think they're actually good?
I mean, they're good to an extent, but I don't think they're as good as some have made them out to be, even when Wesley Matthews is...
Well, I think right now that... Wes is a big part of the team. I think there were 5 minutes where I thought the Blazers were going to be really good. And that was when they traded for Aflalo, which gave them wing depth, which they've not had in a very long time. Possibly since, like, they traded Gerald Wallace. And Batum was their wing depth, weirdly enough. So, like, this incarnation without Wes, I think, is, like, a problem. Because Aflalo just doesn't fit in as well. Wes is better at defense. Wes is like amazing at like pressing advantage. That guy is a great player. Like what happened is like I don't know. It's horrible.
Yeah, because now the Knicks can't really sign him either. So that part's bad too.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's the worst. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my god. If Wes had signed to the Knicks, everybody would have hated him in 5 minutes.
Why?
Because there would have been like a, like, smart dudes would have liked him, but literally everybody else would have been like, we paid this guy a max contract or whatever, and he can't create his own shot. I'm riding the subway. I read Time Out New York. Let's go to Carnazzi.
I see you don't you don't agree with the sentiment that New York fans are smart.
Well, I don't know. I think, like, Bob is smart.
One. We have a singular smart fan. All right.
Yeah, Seth's smart, too. Bob and Seth.
So we have two. All right. I'll take it. Two is more than one.
You know, Wes would have been an all right fit because he plays off ball. Carmelo plays on ball. Except, like, he needs, like, Wes really needs somebody to, like, pass him the ball in a motion. But I guess he posts up. People could put triangle fantasies on him. I think the problem in New York is that it seems like they're like geared into the idea of a triangle, which is, you know, it's probably an archaic offensive system. Anyway,
why are we talking about the Knicks? It's the Blazers, yeah.
The Knicks are more interesting. I think they're good. I think that without Wes, they're significantly not as good. Their bench depth is crap. Depth is crap. And I think that if they have a particular advantage in a playoff series, it's that, like, they don't have to rely on their bench. I mean, everybody complains about their bench depth. But the Blazers, I mean, like, it's like Kamen, Steve Blake, and then everybody after that is like a weird, unstable quantity.
But CJ McCollum not a thing? Didn't he play well?
I don't buy it. He played well at the end of the season, but I think he was so bad before the end of the season that I think that when people are scouting him, that it will not matter that he was good at the end of the season. And I, like, you know, look, I could be wrong. He could be really good, but I doubt it. He was so bad for a long time.
Like, he was that bad.
And then he was good for 15 games.
15 games is better than no games.
I guess. I mean, $15 is better than no dollars, but you can't pay your rent with it.
You pay part of your rent with it.
Why are you trying to sell me on CJ McCollum, Brian?
PSE retweeted an article I wrote about him when he left for the draft, so I irrationally like him.
Oh, wow.
No personal influence on that ever. None.
I mean, you know, people like him.
So,
he's nice.
Aldridge.
Aldridge?
Yeah.
Dad. Can you talk about Dad now?
Yeah, can he, so.
Why don't you stop taking long twos, Dad? Because it's the way I do it, son. Yeah.
Does that bother you, or do you think
it's complicated. It would bother me less if he played center, but he hates playing center.
Why do it bothers me how much these guys care about positions.
I think Aldridge, I don't know, they always say, like, oh, Aldridge doesn't want to bang down there. Like, that's what they always say, when they're talking about it. It just makes it's completely befuddling to me. The Blazers have been good for 2 years. They were bad for 2 years, and then they were good for the year before those 2 years. And during that year, they traded for Gerald Wallace, and they had a lineup. They would run out a lineup that was Andre Miller, Wes Matthews, Nick Batum, Gerald Wallace at the four, and Aldridge at the five, and that was literally the best offensive lineup in the league. And it just absolutely drives me crazy that Aldridge won't just play the five on occasion.
At least Lopez is pretty good, though.
Lopez is a tremendous player. Lopez is better for the defense, but I always think that it would be ideal if when Lopez wasn't playing that Aldridge played center and they filled everything else out with a small lineup. Except I guess that they don't really have, like, guard or wing depth, so that's kind of a problem. But, I don't know. What can we truly know, Brian?
Everything.
You believe that we can know everything?
Maybe.
Brian, do you believe in God?
No.
Oh. Well, of course, yeah, of course you think we can. Do you, like, are you, like, hardline non-belief in God or, like, agnosticism?
I was brought up Jewish. I got bar mitzvah and all that stuff, and I just kind of stopped caring about all of it.
Interesting. I'm writing that down. Okay, how do I feel about Aldridge? I think the other thing about Aldridge's sort of excess from mid-range is that he's not a particularly good playmaker either.
He doesn't really, he can't create, like, his shot creation is just taking fadeaways. It's not like he has good handle or anything like that.
Yeah, it seems like if he gets the ball at the elbow, like, the same thing is going to happen every time. And so, it's sort of weird, though. Like, in the Houston series last year, Houston's reaction to that was basically just to single cover him and not really care about his mid-range. And in the first two games, he just absolutely fucking waxed the Rockets.
And then they went to the two bigs, and he didn't wax them as well.
Yeah. And or they doubled him, or they just began to take it seriously. And so it's good in that things are complicated. It's like good in that he has a skill that basically nobody else has. I don't know if that skill is necessarily optimally valuable. I wish he either took threes instead or had more passing touch, but the offense is really good, so what am I complaining about?
My strategy whenever playing the Blazers is take away the threes, and I'm letting Aldridge take 40 shots a game.
Yeah, but
I'll live and die with it.
But he has absolutely lit some teams who have tried that on him.
But the question is, can he do it 4 out of 7 times?
I don't know. They won last year. God, that series was so close, though. Like, it's hard to occasionally not to think that series was kind of a mirage.
Yeah, because if they would have went to a Sheik Dwight one game earlier, I think Houston probably wins that series. If after game one, him going off, they adjusted, instead of waiting two games to adjust, I think that Houston would have won.
Maybe. We can never truly know anything, in my opinion.
Well, we're on the opposite ends of this spectrum. I think you can know everything. You think we can know nothing. All right, we'll do this again when we have more time. And
you don't want to talk about Lillard? I have an opinion about Lillard.
Go ahead. Finish up with your opinion on Lillard.
Lillard's a really good player. He's basically a shittier Steph Curry.
I think that's the perfect way to put it.
And his absolute 100% biggest problem is that he just dives right into screens. If for some weird reason the Blazers ended up playing the Warriors, I know 100% that the Warriors would absolutely wax them, because every time Curry has the ball above the 3-point line and Lillard is guarding him, and Curry runs like just barely off a screen, Lillard practically dives into the screen like it's his job, and so Curry has a wide open shot. But they were playing the Grizzlies in this series, and Conley's a little banged up. I don't really know what's going on, but he's injured. Is he, like, injured, or is he just...
I haven't taped the Memphis side yet, but that will be informed after me and you talk.
I actually have to write something about this today. I'm feeling a little... but even then, like, Conley isn't, like, a come-off-the-screen-instantly-have-an-open-three-point-shot kind of player, so I don't think that... His biggest problem is going to be a problem. I think the Grizzlies are probably going to win this series.
Do you have anything you would like to plug, sir?
I'm going to be writing about the series for Willamette Week. I write at Vice Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbina Smith. That's CORBINASMITH. And I do a podcast on this network, but I haven't done it lately. But I'll get to it.
It'll come around again. Yes.
Yeah, it's called Bizcat. It's called Bizcastball. Listen to the Bob Silverman episode and the Andrew Crawford episode of that. They're good.
Do everything Corbin just said. Corbin, thank you very much, and we'll catch up again in the future.
Brian, it was my genuine pleasure, and I hope that you can find all the answers that you feel like the universe has to provide to you.
I will. I have no doubt about that. All right, Corbin, we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely you will.
Now for the Grizzlies' perspective of this Blazers Grizzlies 4-5 matchup. We are joined by Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Matt, how you doing today?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, Memphis swept Portland this year. Why do they match up well with the Blazers?
Well, Zebo's a problem for them. You know, they can put LaMarcus on him, but then Zebo really bullies him inside. They can switch Lopez on him, but then he tends to be able to work him from the mid-range. The guards are well-suited to match up with Dame. They switch really well. The Blazers like to really punish you if you make a mistake, but the Grizzlies are really sound defensively. And when you get them into a really physical matchup, that's not where the Blazers like to be. They close out extremely hard, and Tony Allen obviously has a huge impact in disrupting things. The fact that they don't necessarily have a wing that can create for himself, Batum isn't really that guy, that hurts them a little bit from the perspective of if you allow Tony Allen to kind of freelance, you're in a lot of trouble there.
How do they strategically go about guarding Aldridge?
I think probably Gasol is going to get the run. I haven't gone back to watch the regular season matchups yet to really dive into it, but I would imagine that Gasol is going to get most of the reps on Aldridge, and they'll let Zebo bang with Lopez. They'll switch it up a little bit, but that'll probably be the primary defense if Aldridge gets going. I could also see Jeff Green getting some time on him. That's a matchup where Aldridge should be able to get loose. LaMarcus should have a huge series. I mean, he really should. There's not really a great matchup for him. And if they do put Gasol on him, then Aldridge should be able to get him in foul trouble. When you do that, Memphis tends to fall apart. There are some advantages here I think Portland can exploit that maybe didn't come true in the regular season.
I know we're not supposed to take really anything out of these end of the regular season games, but Gasol hadn't been playing well. That 33 points and how he played on the final day, was that something that gave you some confidence with him going forward?
Yeah, it was good to see him kind of back to for him getting up shots is the biggest thing. He just wasn't taking shots. I felt really for the last 2 months that he's been coasting. I think he was saving his body for the playoffs, and I really think that, you know, he's going to come out and be very, very aggressive. Now, Rolo did a fantastic job last year in guarding Dwight. He did a really good job after Dwight ate him alive in the regular season. Rolo's got a very high defensive apex in terms of how high he can hit. But if Mark gets his turnaround jumper going, if he gets the hook shot going, if Gasol goes into the game and is aggressive and the Blazers can't disincentivize him, it's going to be a lot of trouble for them.
What's the latest on Tony Allen and Mike Conley from an injury perspective?
You know, yesterday Jaeger said that if it was a playoff game, Allen and Conley would not play. I don't necessarily believe that. That's not based off of intel, just reading the situation. I would expect for TA to be available for game one. Conley's a little bit more of a up in the air because that foot injury, it changes day to day. He went through workouts versus the Warriors. He went through his entire pregame workout and was moving well. And then he came off the floor and he felt like hell and he didn't play. So trying to figure out exactly where they're at is a little tricky. I do think I would expect Tony Allen to be back for game one.
So you mentioned it with Gasol, with the coasting as the season went on. Memphis didn't play as well as they finished out the regular season versus what they did at the beginning. Do you think that was a team-wide thing, or do you think that just kind of went with Gasol and they weren't as good as the year went on?
It was a team-wide thing. There's a concern here because Conley got injured, and when Conley gets injured, they go to pieces. And then TA was injured, and when TA gets injured, they go to pieces. And then Gasol was coasting, and that's a problem. But the bigger issue is they've had serious chemistry concerns. They've been bickering on the sideline. They've been very frustrated with how each other is playing. They're not a happy group at this point in the season, and that's a major concern because if they don't want to be out there with one another, they're not going to make it through a playoff series. You got to be close. You got to be net. You got to be ready to play for one another, or you're going to be in a huge amount of trouble. If they can get past that, they're going to be fine. And they're a veteran group that may have just been tired of the regular season, but I think it's a question mark going into the playoffs.
How did that come about, the chemistry issues and the kind of stuff you were picking up on watching?
There's a lot of debate on that. All I know is that there are certain players that grade on certain other players. Tony Allen and Nick Calathes got into an incident that resulted in Allen being suspended for a game. And they just really haven't been the same team in terms of playing for one another with the kind of energy that they had those first 3 months. I chalk a lot of it up to them just basically being tired of the regular season. Playoff teams that have been there and done that, they get really bored come around February, March. But it's still something to keep an eye on as playoffs go on.
How does Jeff Green fit into all this?
It's an interesting kind of deal. So when LaMarcus goes out, they go with Drill right at the four. It gives them a nice counter with Green. Green's corner threes are vital for what this team does sometimes. If he can hit those corner threes, it changes the complexion of their offense. When Green has it going, they're very effective. But overall, the Grizzlies haven't been good with Green on the floor. That's just been the reality. They haven't been very good in terms of per 100 possessions with Green on the floor. But he does give them a slashing weapon, and he gives them a guy that can change a handful of possessions in their favor, and I think that's big. The benches are going to play a big role in the series, I think.
Anything else that jumps out to this about this series from a Grizzlies perspective that you think people need to know about?
I'm really going to be interested in how Dame approaches this, because he's got the capacity to take over a series. We saw it last year. He is a phenomenal player. He's one of my favorites in the league. If Conley's healthy, or if Tony Allen's healthy, and especially if both are, it's going to be very difficult for him. He hasn't faced physical defense like this before. Pat Beverly is mean and aggressive, but he doesn't peel off screens the way that those guys do. It's going to be, they're very sound and they're very tough, and they're going to bump him in ways that frustrate him. And how he handles the situation is going to determine a lot of what the Blazers can do. If he can rise above and knock down shots, the Blazers are going to have a great chance to take the series.
Anything you would like to get out there and plug?
Just our content at CBSSports.com. I'm doing a massive 50 weird things, weirdly awesome things about the playoffs. I'm doing playoff threat rankings. We're having complete season previews. I've got a gambling guide going up. I'm pretty much doing nothing but drinking Red Bull and writing about the playoffs for the next 48 hours.
So you were angry that you finished over 500 in gambling. I was like, holy crap, how could you be mad about that?
Well, I do all the picks for CBSSports.com, which is really difficult. Like picking every NBA game is a nightmare.
And you finished over 500. That's incredible.
I need to be at like 55% to 60% in win rate in order to really be effective. And to finish only 30 games over, it's frustrating because you're like, I was 30 games over 500.
Yeah, but you're picking every game. That's not cherry-picking games you like.
No, but then you do the win percentage, and you're like, oh, I was only like 51%. This sucks. I wasn't very good. Like, you just feel disappointing, so.
Pat yourself on the back. Be proud.
Gotta be better, man. I just want to take it one game at a time and be better for my teammates.
I don't think I would hit 35% of the games if I tried to pick every single game. I mean,
it's not easier this year because you just took the Warriors at home every single time, and that was a lock.
That was an easy trend. Good call. All right, Matt, thank you very much. I know you're very busy, so we're going to let you get out of here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.